morning. I am delighted when you pass out these certificates of baptism and those filled with the Holy Ghost. It is imperative and important, and there's an emphasis that is placed upon it, the new birth experience. And the reason why there is an emphasis in this church on repentance after you believe, and water baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, is because I was going to preach or teach it, and this morning the Lord convicted me heavily and said, this is what I want you to teach this morning. So I would rather listen to my boss and do what he says. How about you? And obey the Lord. And so for whatever reason, we are here in the presence of the Lord. And if you have already been baptized in Jesus' name or filled with the Holy Ghost, that's wonderful. And we rejoice. But if you have yet to repent or be water baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost, today I am going to teach on biblical baptism and understanding baptism. I'm going to teach on this morning because I believe it's imperative for us to understand in this hour the necessity and the need for being baptized in Jesus' name, immersed underwater for the remission of our sins. Because there is nothing else that can take away my sins. There is no other scripture given to us for the remission of sins than through baptism in Jesus' name for the New Testament. So let's thank the Lord ahead of time for what He is going to do. And at the same time, let's thank Him for what He has already done for those that stood here today and were baptized in Jesus' name for remission of sins. Turn quickly to the book of Matthew chapter 28 verse 19. And then we'll be going to Acts chapter 2, 38, and then Acts 22, 16. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus speaking, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Everyone say all nations. Baptizing them in the name, everyone say name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 reads, then Peter said unto them, repent and what? Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Again, back to Acts 2, this is the birthday of the New Testament church. The very beginning, and the doctrine that was taught by Simon Peter, the message that he preached, who Jesus himself gave the keys to the kingdom to reveal and expose what this salvation process would be. In Acts 2:38, Peter stands up and preaches to them, repent and be baptized, some of you. Just for the Jews, just for the early church, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Which is an intention of God for you to receive the Holy Ghost, which is His Spirit. Thus fulfilling John chapter 3, verse 3 and through verse 5, being born again of water and of Spirit. Verse 39, for the promise, everyone say promise. Promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This was not only speaking geographically, but it was also speaking chronologically through time. So even way into the distance, thousands of years from now, as long as we remain in this New Testament church, the dispensation of grace, this is going to be applicable. It will not change. It may change with man, but it's not going to change with God. Now, Acts chapter 22, would you go there quickly? Acts 22 verse 16, this will be the last scripture that we read. Receiving certificates acknowledging that they had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which we place an emphasis on, and we celebrate that because the Bible celebrates the new birth experience and those that repent. There is a celebration in heavens, therefore there should be a celebration in earth. Or it is the purpose and the main reason why Jesus came to this world, to redeem mankind, to restore fellowship once again with our Creator. Where sin had divided and sin had separated, the precious blood of Jesus Christ became the currency to fulfill and to enable, through obedience of the Word of God, a plan that was put together by the mastermind of the universe. And our mighty God robed Himself in flesh and came, and we know that. But we also know that there is also a process by which The Word of God has dictated to us things that we must do in obedience and application in our lives in order for these things to come to pass. For just because Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed His blood and resurrected on the third day, what an awesome victory that was over death, hell, and the grave. But it does no one in this world any good until we make application of those things. Because we can believe all day long and we can say that's wonderful, but Scripture tells us faith without works is dead. We must apply and we must do some things, not to earn our salvation, but to obey God's word. For the Lord says, you and I working together can accomplish this thing of remission of sins, because it is the wedge that has been driven between us. And it is the promise way back in the Garden of Eden that the Lord spoke in, that promise of bruising the head of Satan and the Redeemer's heel would be bruised because of putting him back where he belongs, and that is under the feet of our Savior. And we know today that we have redemption through Jesus Christ. But we also know that there is a step and a process by which we must obey in Scripture or application of the Word of God. If it was not so, the Word of God would not say it. Therefore, we need to understand a few things about biblical baptism today. We are obviously living in a different day. Brother Kelly alluded to some things. I looked over to Brother Jason. I said, he's right, but he's dating himself just a little bit. But may I also add, too, I'm dating myself. It's amazing some of the things that we find in our world today. It's amazing. It's the Jetsons all over again, but in real time. We are seeing things happening today and some things that are taking place. At a younger age, children, my little granddaughter, Chanel, before she was even two, was knowing how to swipe on the cell phone. She knew how to, when that little thing that shows up, that your battery is dying and it says you need to recharge your battery, it pops. She knows how to hit that thing to get it off the screen so that she can keep on playing. I'm talking at a young age. Technology is amazing. And we're living in a different day. We're living in a totally different culture than even 10 years ago. But it's not, obviously, the world that our parents grew up in. And it's not the world that we grew up in. So much has changed, hasn't it? So much has changed in the ideas of people and the culture, especially in America, and especially in regards to the Bible or Christianity in general. There seems to be a mentality in our world and even in the religious world today that is much different than when I was growing up in God and when I was growing up in the body of Christ. I will also say today, and please do not take this personally, but there is a lack of biblical knowledge in our culture, in our world today. People don't understand the Bible anymore. They don't understand Christianity so much anymore. All they're receiving is what the world and mainstream media is telling them. What they're receiving today is their perception of what the Bible stands for. And unfortunately for so many, the Bible is some book of rules and restrictions that's holding us down and holding us back. Let me just say it this morning. The devil is a liar. The Bible is presented to us for a way of living and a way of life, but also a way of salvation. The Bible was presented to us by Almighty God, for it is the inspired Word of God with many authors, many writers, but only one author. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that God is the author of the Bible, and what has been written thousands of years ago is not a myth or some old-fashioned book that's out of date. It's still relative today, and it's still pertinent today. I still believe it from cover to cover. How about you? Clap your hands if you believe the Word of God is true. There's a lack of biblical knowledge in our culture today. Things biblically that were once clearly understood, now there is confusion, misunderstanding. And because there's confusion and misunderstanding, and somewhat even a sense of fear, there's an absence of biblical application. In other words, people aren't doing it. They'll see the need for it. There's no necessary components in their lives that say, I need to obey this plan of salvation. One subject is obviously the doctrine of baptism. I'm rejoicing today because since we've been in this new building, we've had close to 40 people baptized in Jesus' name just since we've been in this building the end of May. And I want to rejoice and thank God, and hopefully more today are baptized when you see the need and application of the Word of God. So to the question is, should we even be baptized? And how should it be done? The questions roll in so many that people ask today. Is it absolutely necessary? Is just believing in Jesus Christ enough? What really happens to me when I'm baptized? Some are even trying to convince people that it's not even necessary because it's only symbolic. Then what do you do with Scripture? What do you do with the Word of God? Because the Word of God is the final authority on all things. It doesn't matter what religion you grew up in. It doesn't matter who your uncle or your aunt and what they say. What matters is what the Word of God says. It doesn't matter what online things say. It doesn't matter what you can Google. What matters is what thus saith the Word of God, because that is the final authority. And on Judgment Day, this is the book that's going to be opened up and say, did you do what my Word said to do? God for a solid, sure foundation called the Bible, the Word of God. It might be on hard times out there, but I still believe the Word of God. I still practice the Word of God. I still apply the Word of God. And even when it's inconvenient, even when it goes against what I want to do, because we don't serve God on our terms. We serve God on His terms and on the Word's terms. And everybody, would you say amen? To these questions, I want to answer some of them hopefully today, because the greater question is, have you been baptized the Bible way? If not, you can be baptized or rebaptized today. And everybody shout amen. That's a hopeful thing. We've got warm water up there. We can baptize you this morning, and you can leave today, hallelujah, with all of your sins remitted through the precious name of Jesus Christ, and one act of obedience through water baptism in Jesus' name. It can happen for you today. Clap your hands if you know what I'm talking about. Come on, we already read it. Why wait? What hinders you? What are you waiting on? The two scriptural references that we read speak strong and speak clear on this particular subject of baptism in Jesus' name. Because baptism in Jesus' name is one third of the requirement for New Testament new birth, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The last message preached by Jesus was a command to baptize all nations, and that was in Matthew 28, 19. The first message preached by the apostles resulted in a command for everyone to be baptized. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Baptism is vital and should be done the way the Bible says. I've taught this in Firm Foundation class. I've preached this over the years. We recognize Matthew 28:19 says, baptizing them in the name, everybody say name, of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38 says, baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. To some that do not understand the Word of God, it would look like some type of contradiction. But for those who want better understanding of Scripture, either Simon Peter was doing exactly what the Lord said, or he was in complete disobedience and rebellion against what Jesus said. I doubt that Simon Peter was in rebellion. I doubt that he rewrote and said something different than Jesus told him to say it. When Jesus was speaking of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, he was applying Colossians 2:9, which says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was speaking of himself. He was saying, here I am, my name is Jesus Christ. So when Simon Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost, there was no confusion. There was no hesitation. He says, every one of you, after you repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's how it happens, through the name. The name is what casts out devils. The name is what brings, come on, the name is what brings miracles. The name is what brings the glory of God into any situation. You've got to invoke the name, because that's where the power is. The power is in the name. So why don't we just say the name of Jesus right now? Why don't we just worship that name, that precious name of Jesus? Oh, the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ. Paul said, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, any other message, let him be accursed. And everyone say amen. something as serious as our salvation, the form of baptism applied must be found in the Bible, or we should not do it. If it's there, we should do it. If it's not, we should not. And everybody say amen. Many have asked the question, does it matter if we immerse or sprinkle? Does it matter? If where my soul spends eternity matters, I would say on a personal note and a very personal level that I would say I will not leave any stone unturned. I will make sure that I do it the way the Bible says, because what's the point of doing anything if I'm not going to do it the Bible way? I'm just spinning my wheels. I'm just wasting my time. And if somebody tells you something different, what good are they doing you? That's why we've got to have be founded in the Word of God. And everybody say amen. Why don't you clap your hands and magnify God? I feel some light bulbs turning on already. I feel something moving in the Spirit already. Oh, God, help. Then I must not make any mistake when it comes to preparing for eternity, if it matters. The word immerse is baptizo. Baptizo in the Greek. The word sprinkle is rantizo in the Greek. You can find information, and I've shared this with you in handouts before, but let me review it again this morning. You can find information in your local library, because especially upon this history on the subject, out even outside of the Bible. And so I put together a few things to share with you about this subject of baptism and how to do it, because it even matters how you are baptized. When we understand the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we understand that we also apply that death, burial, and resurrection through repentance. We die to ourselves. Through water baptism, we are buried. Death, burial, and then the resurrection occurs when we are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Our spirits are reborn and regenerated. There's new life in us. It's the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And everybody say, I got that. But I have never been to a burial where someone only sprinkled dirt on them. They had to be fully and completely covered by that dirt, because that, my friend, is a genuine burial. The Greek English lexicon says this: baptism, taken from Greek, the Greek word baptizo, means to dip or to immerse, which means completely under, not rantizo or sprinkle. The classic Greek English dictionary says the Greek word for baptizo means dip under. In the Greek English dictionary, the Greek word baptizo means to immerse. In every instance, the Greek word baptizo is translated immerse, not sprinkle. Everybody say, I got it. That's the word, and that's the reference of baptism. Now we move on, and Schaff-Herzog, Religious Encyclopedia, baptism was always a burial. The command to baptize was a command to immerse. This is outside of the Word of God. Encyclopedia Dictionary of the Bible, it is evident that the action performed in baptizing was by immersion, page 202. World Book Encyclopedia says this: the early church practiced immersion, or submerging under water. Then the pulpit commentary says about Romans chapter 6, verse 4, that we are to be buried in baptism. The reference is to be baptized by immersion. It was the only way people in the New Testament church were baptized, not only biblically, but also historically. So why don't you clap your hands and thank God that you're in line with not only the Word of God, but you're also in line historically the way this thing is supposed to be. Come on, let's praise Him. Let everyone magnify God. You see, since sprinkling cannot be found in the Bible, or just pouring water over a person, then this is a practice and a tradition of man, not the true biblical method. A person must be completely immersed. I've told the story just even recently. That's why when we baptized Sister Rail's mom, and we baptized her, the lady that was there running the rehabilitation center said, can't you just pour water over her? She's in a condition, in a wheelchair, and we just don't know what to do and what's going to happen, this and that. I said, I'm sorry, but I have got to obey the word of God. Because I'm not going to start changing things for convenience. I'm not going to start tweaking some things based upon just relativity and things that are just where we are today. And does it really matter? I've got to stay with what the Word of God says. I said, if you want somebody else to do it, and I told this lady that, I said, get somebody else. But as for me doing the baptism, we're going to baptize her and bury her in the name of Jesus Christ completely underwater. That's not cruel. That's not being mean. That's not being out of fashion, old-fashioned and out of date. That's just being biblically accurate. Come on, do we want our sins remitted or not? Then we've got to do it the way the Word of God says to do it, in every case, in every situation. And so we've got to follow the Word of God because it's what matters and because it has the final word. Baptism, is it in the plan of salvation? So many people ask questions and some people even want to debate it. I don't ever debate the Word of God. If somebody genuinely has a question, I'll sit down with you and spend all day with you. But if somebody comes to try to be critical of the Word of God or somehow try to debate the Word of God, I don't have time to debate the Word of God because the Word of God speaks for itself. And everybody say amen. So there are some biblical reasons why baptism is an absolute necessity. Number one, the Bible says so. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Bible says so. Go ahead, find them. Tell them, the Bible says so. John 3:5 says, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Everybody say, I got it. Mark 16:16, he that believeth, everybody say, I believe, and is baptized shall be saved. Notice how Jesus places baptism in conjunction with salvation. 1 Peter 3:21 says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. We can also find that reference in Acts chapter 10, verse 6 and verse 48. Number two, it remits sin. It remits sin. Hebrews 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with the blood. And without the shedding of the blood, there is what? No remission. The application of the blood of Christ is necessary to remit sin. So what is the biblical way to receive remission of sins? The answer to this question will also be the only way to get our Savior's blood applied. In Luke 24, verse 47, it says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name. Everybody shout, Jesus. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of what? Sins. The blood of Jesus applied only through water baptism in the name of Jesus. I want us to clap our hands and thank God that we're not wasting our time. That it's more than, come on, it's more than just a ritual. It's more than just an apostolic thing. It's more than a Pastor Bulgren thing. But it is a biblical thing. That's why we're teaching our children. That's why we're applying in our lives. That's why we're sending the message everywhere else. Whenever other people are compromising, we can't compromise this. Lift up your hands if you receive this today in Jesus' name. And may it be a record between you and God right now that you believe this. Come on, let it be a record between you and God. I receive this in Jesus' name. My God, I want to be a part of the body of Christ. I want to be a part of the church because the Bible says the church is going to be raptured up. And I don't want to be on the outside looking in. I want to be in the church. And we can't join the body of Christ like a fitness club or the PTA. We've got to be spiritually reborn into it. And that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus that night. We are baptized into the church. Every New Testament church was formed by those whom were baptized into the faith after believing and repenting. For example, the church at Jerusalem, 3,000 were added by baptism after receiving the word in Acts 2, verse 41. The church at Samaria believed and were baptized, men and women, Acts 8, 12 through 16. The church at Caesarea, Peter commanded them to be baptized. That's in Acts chapter 10, verse 40 at the house of Cornelius. In church of Philippi, Lydia and the Philippian jailer baptized. We know the story of him being baptized in Acts chapter 16. The church at Corinth, again, this is, we read it in the book of Corinthians. This is the church that was established. And furthermore, some people want to pull a doctrine out of some of these established churches like Philippi and Corinth and Ephesus and Galatia. Do not forget the fact that these were already established churches. In other words, these churches already repented and were baptized in Jesus' name and believed in the power of the outpouring and the infilling of the Holy Ghost is speaking in other tongues. These are the established churches. And so we cannot pull a doctrine out of that. We've got to understand our doctrine through the book of Acts, which is the history book of the New Testament. And when we understand the history book of the New Testament, we see that all those churches were started out of the book of Acts. So it makes only sense to know that in the church at Corinth, Paul preached, they believed and were baptized. The church at Ephesus, Paul rebaptizes those improperly baptized. They'd already started the process and their salvation process. They started moving in the right direction and the transition from the old into the New Testament. They were baptized in Acts chapter 19 under John's baptism, which was repentance. But when Paul was going through the upper coast of Ephesus, he finds those certain disciples of John and he starts a conversation with them. The first thing he asks them is, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" One component there is enough. Well, if only believing is all it takes, then why would Paul even ask the question, "Have you received the Holy Ghost?" Because he says, since you believed. Believing's a great first step, but we've got to go beyond just believing, folks. We've got to do something about what we believe, and we've got to obey the Word of God. We've got to apply those things that God intends for us to receive. We haven't even heard of the Holy Ghost. The next question he asks, "Well, then how were you baptized?" If it doesn't matter, get on your horse and ride off into the sunset and tell everybody have a good day because they already believed. How were you baptized? Well, we were baptized under John's baptism, which is repentance. And all of a sudden, he gets down and says, "Okay, boys, we've got to have a conversation." The Bible says after he talks with them a little while, explains some things to them, that they were not only filled with the been there or baptized in Jesus' name or rebaptized with the name of Jesus Christ being invoked over them, immersed under water, but they were also prayed over in the Lord's, and the Word of God says they were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So my question is this: if it does not matter, why even waste your time? Why even do it? Listen, I'm not here to debate last year or 20 years ago. I'm not here to debate friends and family that have passed on. I'm not here to talk about that. What we're talking about is where we are today. As for me and my house, what must I do? And today I'm going to preach what the Word of God says, and I'm going to obey what the Word of God says. I'm not going to get into debates and arguments. I'm just going to obey Scripture. I don't know about you today, but I want to see Jesus Christ. I want to hear Him say, "Well done." I want to enter those pearly gates, and I want to walk on those streets of gold. I want to go to a place where there's no more darkness, and there's no more death, and there's no more disease, and there's no more suffering. I want to go to a place where I can spend eternity in life. If you want to be there, won't you clap your hands and magnify God? What are we doing? Are we preparing? Are we? Church at Colossae, they were buried with Christ in baptism, Colossians 2:12. The church at Rome, they died to sin. In other words, they repented. They were buried in baptism. What should we say then when someone is baptized? Does it matter? I've talked about the mikveh in Israel before, and I've explained about how you walk down one way before you would even enter into the Old Testament. You would go through the mikveh, and then before you even started your ascent into the place of the outer court and wherever there was worship and sacrifice given and for atonement and so forth that day, that before they would come, that many of them, before they would even take one step into the house of God, that they would step into the mikveh, which was a basin full of water, and they would walk in one way, and they were when they would go into the water, they would go completely submerged under the water. And when they would be completely submerged under the water, then they would come through the water, and then they would go back up the steps out a different way than they came in, which was symbolic that once you go into the water and you are buried into the water, symbolism here is telling us that you are going to come out a different way. So I want to take a quick poll here, an impromptu response. How many of you can testify that when you were water baptized in Jesus' name for remission of your sins and you come up out of that water, Faith received the Holy Ghost. It was so powerful for her. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It changed everything. You come up out. I need a testimony here today. You felt like you could float out of this place. Those sins that have been hampering you, those sins that have been bogging you down, those sins that have been tormenting you, you cannot find peace. You couldn't even come to the house of God and worship because of some past thing. Oh, they've been washed away. I'm a new man. I'm a new lady. Hallelujah. All my sins have been washed away and remitted. They're gone. Why don't you clap your hands and thank God for that? God made a way. Hallelujah. The problem with the mikvah, it was only external, and there was no name applied. And they would go up into the presence. But oh, aren't you glad when you get into a watery grave, into a tank full of water, and you are baptized, fully immersed, and the name of Jesus Christ is spoken over you and invoked, that all of those sins are washed away. Christy and Eric, I hope you don't mind me telling the story of what Blake said. Little Blake was baptized last Sunday morning, and he said that afternoon at dinner, he said, there was a bunch of sins swimming around in that water. A bunch of sins swimming around in that water. He saw a bunch of sins in that water. I thought, well, you know what? He's not completely wrong. I don't know where the sins go, although other than the Word of God tells me that my past and my sins go into a sea of forgetfulness. Who forgets is God. He chooses to forget. He takes our sins, throws them into that sea of forgetfulness, and may I paraphrase here a moment, and he never goes fishing in that sea of forgetfulness. So when at the end of the day we can say this, I know something that God does not know. I know my past. But my past is still in my memory. But God has chosen through the act of obedience through water baptism in Jesus' name, he has chosen to forgive and he has chosen to forget. That way, when the accuser of the brethren shows up, I'm talking about the devil, and you're trying to sing in the choir, you're wanting to teach in a Sunday school class, you're wanting to preach the Word of God, you're wanting to do something for God, and all of a sudden he says, you're not good enough. What do you mean I'm not good enough? Well, you remember that sin? You remember how you did that? You remember what you did to them? You remember what you said to them? You remember that? Hey, you need to point your finger, square your shoulders, point your finger at the devil and say, it is under the blood and has been washed away through waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. God himself don't even know what you're talking about. Stop accusing me. You're wasting your time. Somebody lift up your hands in the liberty and the freedom of the Word of God. I've been redeemed. I've been forgiven. And I'm enjoying this liberty. That's how you can come to church and clap your hands. That's how you can come to church unless it's become old hat to you. I don't ever want it to become an old story to me. I want to rejoice every time I hear about this message. I want to rejoice every time I hear about this process of my sins being forgiven. Oh, praise God. It matters. It matters. It matters. Be baptized for remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. So my question again is, which of these were practiced by the apostles of the early church and still being applied today? Matthew 28:19 was a command by Jesus to baptize in the name. The apostles did not repeat a word of the command, but they did obey it as seen in the scriptures as I just read. Since the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are titles of manifestations of the God of our salvation and his body, the apostles understood his saving name to be Jesus Christ. Because I'm working on something of all the titles that have been given to God. The word God is actually a title. What is the God's name? Because you can serve this speaker up here and that could become a God to you. A God is a form of something you worship and pay homage to. It could be anything. But what is the name of our God? In Matthew chapter 1, it finally speaks and reveals the name. His name is Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. And everybody knows that his name is Jesus Christ in all capital letters. Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. His name is Jesus Christ. Won't you clap your hands and say the name of Jesus Christ? That's why we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what's got the power to take away our sins and nothing else. I'm going to finish with this. How did the early church interpret Christ's command in Matthew 28, 19, and Acts chapter 2, and Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, and so on? We understand and recognize that if the biblical record is not enough, then maybe we would understand and believe the findings of educated scholars and historians. So allow me to finish by saying this. Britannica Encyclopedia, 11th edition, volume 3, page 365, says this. Baptism was changed from the name of Jesus to the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in the second century. This does not make it right, and it did not make null and void the scripture or the word of God. Because others changed it and others were doing it a different way did not mean it ceased. The Bible tells us in Canon Encyclopedia of Religion, the early church baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus until the second century. Hastings Encyclopedia of Religion, Volume 2, Christian baptism was administered using the words in the name of Jesus, page 377, history. Baptism was always in the name of Jesus until time of Justin Martyr, page 389. The Catholic Encyclopedia, Volume 2, page 435. Here the authors acknowledge that the baptism formula was changed by their church. Herzog Religious Encyclopedia, Volume 1, page 435. The New Testament knows only the baptism of the name of Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Hastings Dictionary of the Bible, page 88. It must be acknowledged that the threefold name of Matthew 28, 19 does not appear to have been used in the primitive church, but rather in the name of Jesus or Lord Jesus. Would you lift up your hands all over this place? I feel the unctioning of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking to some veterans right now that you have been in this for 50 years. You need to lift up your hands and thank God that you have not wavered and you have not let the pressure of our culture and our world and mainstream religion tell you that this does not matter. Come on, it's done in the past, and that's outside the Word of God. The Bible says in Acts 8:36, the eunuch, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip, if thou believest with all thy heart, he said, you must be baptized. Believing is a prerequisite of baptism. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Repentance must precede baptism. Would you rise to your feet right now, and would you put your hands together and come on, would you take evaluation of where you are right now? Would you shore up some things in your spirit? Oh, yes, I'm doing it the way the Bible says to do it. Would you lift up your hands all over this place? Come on, doctrine does matter. The Word of God does matter. I don't want to be counted among those people. He said, well, we just believed and we did this in your name. We did that in your name. The Lord said, I never knew you. When you know somebody, that is a word of intimacy. Translated, the word new means intimacy, intimate. Lift up your hands all over this place. I need some prayer warriors to pray right now. I need some veterans that know how to get a hold of God. Come on, intimacy. Intimacy is more than just words. Were a marriage to be consummated, there must be a relationship between that husband and that wife, a consummation process which says, I knew her, and they knew one another. When you read that in Scripture, that's what that's talking about. It's talking about relationships when the lights go out. When the Lord says, I never knew you, that means you never applied his name. He never took on his name. When my wife and I got married, her last name was Priest before we got married. It's amazing she married a preacher. Isn't it funny how all this works out? Her last name was Priest. Go ahead. But when we got married, she took on my name. I'm sure when ordering a pizza, she would have much rather stayed with Priest. Because the name Bulgren is not a very common name, and we always have to stop. Before they even ask, I say, B-U-L-G-R-I-N. Not B-O-L, B-U-L-G-R-I-N. It's like a bull and a grin. But she took on my name. She took on my name. Let me just simply say this morning. That's why it's imperative that we take on the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm not ashamed to say this today. I'm not imposing, nor do I feel uncomfortable with saying this, because this is going to help somebody in your process of seeing Jesus one day. This is something that must take place. Would you lift up your hands all over this place and begin to pray? I want to take on the name of Jesus Christ, not just a religion, not just a church. I've got to know truth. And my prayer is that what brought you to this church and why you started attending here was more than just the building, more than just the programs, more than just the music. But you came here because you saw a solid truth in the Word of God that says, this is what the Word of God says. This is what I must do. Come on, I need people praying, because there are people right now that are considering, should I be baptized? I say, oh, yes. Because after all this information I've presented to you today, all the proof and all the understanding, we are now ready for an invitation to this altar. Because before you are baptized, you must first repent. That is asking the Lord. Well, what do we do about those who have been filled with the Holy Ghost first? Well, look no further than Acts chapter 10 at the house of Cornelius. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They spoke in tongues. Simon Peter said, hey, who can forbid these folks water as well as we? I mean, they received the Holy Ghost just like we did. How can we forbid them water? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. They were baptized after they got the Holy Ghost. Some say, when I get baptized, I get the Holy Ghost. That's not true. That's not what Scripture says. Would you lift up your hands? Come on. Everybody pray and intercede. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I have given you the truths of the Word of God. You've seen it for yourself. I've tried my best today to even give you, outside of the Word of God, historical reference to prove to you some things may have changed in this world, thus the confusion, thus the differences, thus the different ways and approaches to this. But we've got to go back to the Word of God. Hear me, as your pastor, I love your soul and want you to be saved. We've got to go back to what the Word of God says, because that is the final authority. Come on, you must first believe. You must repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Ghost. Obey John 3 through 5, Acts 2:38. All over this place, would you pray one more time? My God, in the name of Jesus, I want every head bowed and every eye closed all over this building today. Go ahead. Every eye closed, please. Everyone praying. Everyone praying. Everyone praying. Every eye closed. I want you to lift up your hand today, if you would like to be baptized in Jesus' name. I want you to hold your hand up real high. That's it. Lift up your hand. That's it. There's one. There's two. Anybody else? Come on, after you've heard today and everything that you've seen, if you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, hallelujah, this is great. Lift up your hand high. I want to obey Scripture. Come on, Listen, I've got nothing to gain here other than to see you saved. I've got nothing to gain to see you in obedience to the Word of God. Come on, keep on praying. Ministry, pray. I need leaders all over this church to pray. Hallelujah. That's it. All right. Those of you that raised your hands, I want you to quickly come up to this altar right now. Come on up here. You don't have to come by yourself. Come with somebody if you want. That's it. Come on up here. That's right. Come on up here. That's right, hon. Come on up here. Don't come by yourself. Come up here with somebody. That's right. Our church is rejoicing because we're about ready to give birth today spiritually. Come on. I know there's more in this place. I need somebody to intercede. Somebody to pray right now. You're right there. Come on. Don't let the devil talk you out of this. Don't let anything pull you away. In the name of Jesus. Come on. That's it. Come on up here. Anybody else? I need people praying right now because there are individuals. You're in the valley of decision. That's right. Come on up here. You're in the valley of decision. Don't wait another week. Don't wait another day. Something is so important. It's my eternity. I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to miss it. Come on, if you've been baptized some other way and would like to be rebaptized, slip out of your seat and come on up here. I don't even know how I was baptized, Pastor. I don't even know. I can't even remember whether it was in the titles or some name or no name at all. I don't know. I can't even remember how I was baptized. Then I want you to come up this altar and say, today, I'm going to make sure. I'm going to confirm some things and affirm some things in God, in my relationship with Him. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Brother John, I want you to come on up here. My wife is going to come up here too to help some ladies. We're going to take these individuals back here to be baptized. Hallelujah. I want you to rise to your feet. I want you to worship God. As a matter of fact, praise God. You all ready to be baptized today? Give me a high five, hon. What's your name? Kylie? Kylie. Kylie. That's cool. Kylie, I'm Pastor Ken. What's your name? Sandy, I've seen you before. Good to see you again. What's your name? Carly. Praise God. All three of you? Just these two. Praise God. These two right here are going to be baptized in Jesus' name. Good to see you. Good to see you. Praise God. Two. Okay. Three. Four. All right. Praise God. Donna, God bless you. I'm going to baptize you, okay? All righty. All right. I'd like for these folks to go on back, and if you take them back there, just watch your step. We don't have everything finished back there. But go ahead and take them back there. We're going to get ready. I'm going to get in that tank, and we're going to baptize these folks. I'm going to count on you, the church, right now to lift up your hands. I would like for you to slip out of your seat and come up to this altar. We're going to sing some songs of worship and praise. I'm going to go back there, and we're going to celebrate today five souls baptized in Jesus' name. Come on, this is how this is supposed to be. This is how things are supposed to work. There's no regrets in this. You're not going to ever say, nor have I ever heard anyone say, I wish I would never have been baptized. No, you're going to say, thank God, on that day I obeyed the word of God.